Welcome to today's Association of the United States Army Thought Leader Podcast on battling COVID-19, United States Army Corps of Engineers Research and Development Center. This is Colonel Retired Dan Roper, AUSA's Director of National Security Studies. I will be serving as your host. We're fortunate today to be joined by three leaders within the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers who have been instrumental in the U.S. Army's battle with COVID-19. Dr. David Pittman has been Director of the U.S. Army Engineer Research and Development Center, otherwise known as ERDEC, which is headquartered in Vicksburg, Mississippi, since March 2017. He manages one of the most diverse research organizations in the world, with seven laboratories located in four states, more than 2,100 employees, over $1 billion in facilities, and a $1 billion annual program. He's also Director of Research and Development and the Chief Scientist of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Dr. Todd Bridges, Senior Research Scientist for Environmental Science, has been for U.S. Army ERDEC since 2006. He's also had multiple leadership positions with environmental responsibilities within ERDEC since 1992. Mr. Mike Channel is the Chief of the Installation Support Division for the ERDEC Installation Operations Command and has been since 2016. He oversees security, Directorate of Public Works, Safety and Environmental Management, Internal Review, and Research and Development Fabrication Shops within ERDEC. Gentlemen, welcome to AUSA's Thought Leaders Podcast. Dr. Pittman, we'd like to start with you. Could you please explain to our audience the mission of the United States Army Corps of Engineers and then the mission of ERDEC Engineering Research and Development Center, which you head?
Yes, well, thanks, Dan, and we appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and talk to the AUSA audience about the thing that the Corps of Engineers has done as part of the United States Army in responding to COVID, and then more specifically, you know, what ERDEC has done. So I'll start with the Corps of Engineers. Our vision of the Corps is to engineer solutions for our nation's toughest challenges. And we've been doing that since 1775, by the way. We actually helped George Washington win the Revolutionary War, and we've had a mission ever since, really on the military side and what we call civil works, which is helping to manage our nation's water resources infrastructure. So our mission today then involves delivering vital public and military engineering services and partnering both in peace and war to do three specific things. Number one is to strengthen our national security. Number two is to energize the economy. And then number three is to reduce risk from disasters. And so the ERDEC, that we're the research labs for the Corps of Engineers. So the Corps is about 35,000 people worldwide mission. The ERDEC is a little over 2,000 people, as you said. We're the research organization for the Army Corps of Engineers. Our vision is to be a world-class R&D organization that discovers, develops, and delivers new ways to make the world safer and better every day. That's really what we do every day. And so as the research organization then, it's our mission to solve our nation's most challenging problems in civil and military engineering, geospatial sciences, water resources, and environmental sciences for the Army, the DOD, civilian agencies, and for our nation's public good.
Could you expand a little on how ERDEC interacts with other Army organizations such as Army Futures Command, Army Medical Command, and other parts of the U.S. Army?
Yeah, sure, Dan. So, you know, we're part of the Army, right? The Army Corps of Engineers, and we're part of a science and technology lab network, actually. So we're, you know, our sister laboratories located in Army Futures Command, like the CCDC and the Army Medical Command, and then other Army labs, such as the ones in Space and Missile Defense Command, Army Research Institute. We're all part of the Army S&T network that does research and development in support of the United States Army, working with Army Futures Command and sister labs. But we also support the greater Army out there and supporting the operational mission, providing technical expertise to the research and development to the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, the Department of Defense itself, and then other agencies like Department of Homeland Security and Environmental Protection Agency, and say to FEMA. So FEMA, the Corps of Engineers itself, actually has an emergency support function number three. So we're sort of task organized to FEMA to provide public works and engineering support. So we're kind of FEMA's engineer in that way. And that generally is, you know, responding to hurricanes and natural disasters and earthquakes and storms, things like that. But it even involves responding to, say, the pandemic, the COVID-19. So the biggest way we did that in the last few months is providing alternative care facilities, or ACFs we call them, basically converting arenas and hotels to hospitals. We had a huge demand for hospitals nationwide. So as a result of that, we provided over 15,000 additional beds in 17 states, in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. We assessed, actually in all 50 states, over 1,000 different sites for potential ACFs, and ended up building over 38 facilities and mission assignments for FEMA worth over $1.8 billion. It's quite an impact. It's quite a workload. I'd like to ask Mr. Mike Channel if he's got anything to add on his perspective of the construction of the alternative care facilities.
Yes. The ERDC was contacted by headquarters USAID back at the end of March to look at the designs that were submitted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Support Center in Huntsville, Alabama. They developed four courses of actions to expand isolation bed spaces for the COVID-19 patients. The ERDC was tasked with building prototypes of two of those courses of action. One was the shell containers, better known as the pods, that were repurposed for the alternative care facilities, and the other one was to build basically a room using standard construction procedures like metal studs, drywall, different things like that. And the Engineer Research and Development Center was tasked with evaluating those two courses of action. This proof of concept was to provide a determination on design, cost, and time to build or convert the courses of action for the alternative care facility. What ERDC did was basically take the design from the Huntsville Center and build a prototype based on that design. We submitted a report back to the Huntsville Center with our recommendations. Once we started building them, we discovered there were certain things that could be changed, and that was the whole purpose of building the prototypes, to determine the best way to do it, the quickest way to do it, and the cheapest way to do it.
I'd like to turn to Dr. Bridges for the next question. ERDC's developed one of the 16 models used by the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, to predict the spread of COVID-19. Could you share some details about your work on that?
In the March timeframe, when the Corps of Engineers was being asked what it could do in terms of building additional healthcare capacity in the country, alternative care facilities, we had to be able to answer certain questions to be able to respond to those requests. And those questions take the form of, well, where and when? Where would these facilities be needed, and when do they have to be online? And one of the tools that's used by public health officials and epidemiologists to make these kinds of projections of the where and when, we call an epidemiological model. And in that March timeframe, there were really very few models available to answer those questions. And we realized very quickly that we would need to internalize that modeling capacity to be able to respond to the types of questions we needed to answer and to be able to update our understanding using this kind of modeling capacity. So when we set up this team, which included as many as 40 subject matter experts across ERDC, physicists and mathematicians and public health experts and biologists and computer scientists and mathematicians, within really just a few days' time, we were using epidemiological models to make projections of disease spread in places like Guam and American Samoa and the Northern Mariana Islands, in Indo-PACOM and for our Pacific Ocean Division, and comparing those projections of disease spread to the healthcare capacity in those locations. And those were really the first projections that anyone had performed for U.S. territories at that time. Within the United States and the continental United States, we were developing this modeling capacity from scratch. We were first doing this modeling on individual workstations or computers, but that was taking, 8 hours of running overnight to run and to give us output. And so we transferred that modeling capability to our high-performance computing infrastructure within ERDC so that we could go from running that model for 8 hours overnight to running it in 10 minutes. And one of the reasons why that's so important is because we were developing and making modifications to this model in real time. to be able to improve our ability to make these projections to answer this when and where question. So if you have to wait, you know, 8 hours to be able to know whether or not there's a kink in your code, that's a real problem. So having that capacity internal to ERDC as one of the DoD's supercomputing centers was really key to us. And this model is still being used. Back at the time, say in March, there were really few models at the time that we transferred and continue to transfer our model results on a daily basis to the CDC. There were only about 16 models that the CDC was including in their ensemble, which can be accessed from their website. As of today, I believe there are about 31 models that they're using to show the ensemble results of disease spread in the United States. And I expect that for some time to come, we'll be using models like this to understand disease spread, as also the secondary waves that we're experiencing now in different places within the country, so that we can understand how to support the healthcare capacity that we need in our country. And that was the other component of what we did beyond the modeling, is be able to take those kinds of results and provide decision support capacity for doing supply chain or personal protective equipment and ventilators and other materials that are necessary to support the cause, if you will. And so our team, embedded with FEMA Region 1 and their data analytics group, enabled us to basically carry the modeling work that we were doing here and apply it in real time to inform decisions so that healthcare professionals had the capacity at hand that they needed to be able to address the need.
It's quite an impressive contribution to the national effort. Dr. Pittman, do you have anything you'd like to add about the DoD High Performance Computer Modernization Program? It really sounds like a unique asset.
Yes, sure, Dan. We actually manage that $300 million a year program for the Department of Defense, and I'm quite proud to do that. And we actually have one of the five supercomputing centers that is managed by that program. We actually run that at ERDC. So just like the rest of the Department of Defense and the Army jumped in on COVID to see how we could help, the HPC program did the same thing. So one of the ways we helped was working with the U.S. Transportation Command. They were worried about how droplets from COVID-positive patients, you know, if you sneeze or something like that, how it might potentially infect air crews and medical attendants. And so we did a computational fluid dynamics of airflow to study how those droplets of water might move throughout the cabin. Another way we helped was with the Walter Reed Army Research Institute. They were looking at virtual drug screenings, and they use computers to do that. But what we were able to do was typically they could look at 2 million vaccine options over a 3-week period. But with the supercomputing systems that we have, high performance computers, we increased that by 20x. So we could look at 40 million target compounds over that same period. So that's just how the supercomputing system can help the DoD in doing its mission. And that's how we helped during the COVID crisis.
Can you comment on ERDC's use of virtual and augmented reality solutions in the ACF effort?
Yeah, that was another innovative way. So we really had to get creative, of course, as the rest of the Army and DoD had to get creative in how we execute our mission during a pandemic. So one of the ways we helped in the heart alternative care facilities was, I told you we had to survey over 1,000 sites in all 50 states, and we ended up building 38 facilities as a result of those surveys. But when you do one of these surveys, so you literally have to go out to a site. It could be a hotel, it could be an arena, it could be a parking lot. But you have to send people out and you have to survey it to see if it has the proper building, water, air, electricity, everything it takes to support a hospital, and see if it can actually do that. Well, when you do that, you expose people to COVID in the process of doing the inspection. And so what we partnered with our Walla Walla district, that's in the Northwest United States, to use virtual reality and augmented reality. So you could send one person out with these special live streaming cameras and mixed reality overlays and inspect these facilities with a very small group of people, maybe one or two people, and they're transmitting back to a group of engineers. So we're actually collecting better information faster and much quicker and process those assessments and then deliver those to FEMA. So that's one innovation that we came up with in supporting the Corps of Engineers and the ACF mission.
Strikes me that that's got some interesting connections with the synthetic training environment that the Army's working on, you know, one of their cross-functional teams. That's a great insight that you've got there, and I'm going to be anxious to see how that develops in the future.
Could you talk about what insights ERDC has derived from this experience that will be useful moving forward, both in the fight against COVID-19 and beyond?
Well, absolutely. I think the entire world is learning some things now. And what we've learned in the Corps of Engineers and in ERDC is, you know, the value of resilience. So Corps of Engineers has been around since 1775, as I've said, through many wars and crises. And ERDC itself has been around for 91 years through World War II, Vietnam War, 9/11, you know, Hurricanes Katrina and Harvey, Maria, Ivan, and now the current pandemic. And throughout all of those crises, we've stepped up to the plate because we had to, and we did. And so you can turn chaos into triumph. And that's what the DOD has done, the Army has done, to help us get through this current crisis. Another thing is just the innovation that it takes to do things in a different way. We've given several examples here just in the last few minutes on the type of innovations we've done, but even how we deliver those innovations. So back in February, really before the crisis really hit hard in the United States, we had about 6% of our workforce teleworking. That's 6% of over 2,000 people. Well, in March, April, when it really hit, we dropped back to only about 5 or 6% actually at the work site, the minimum staffing it took to keep our installations actually secure. So about 95% teleworking. Today, that's at about 65%. And we expect over the long term, that'll stay in the 30 to 40% range. And we've managed to keep our mission going. We're still doing this over $1 billion research program with very minimal delays in what we're doing. So we're still delivering, you know, discover, develop, and delivering what we do for the nation every day. So we've had to innovate not just in what we do, but how we do it.
That's a good point for us to come to a conclusion on. But before we do wrap up, I'd like to ask each of you if you've got any other points you'd like to emphasize to our audience, because I can tell you, we all have a lot to learn from what you've done, and you've done a great service, not to just the Army, but to the nation and what you've done. I think our listeners are going to want to learn more about you. So starting with Mr. Mike Channel, Mike, do you have anything else you'd like to add to round this out for our listeners?
Yes. When we were tasked to build the alternative care facilities, when headquarters contacted ERDC, I do not know if they contacted Dr. Pittman or Colonel Schlosser, but we were giving a 48-hour turnaround time for building these two prototype units that were designed by the Huntsville Center. We brought in a team of specialized craftsmen from machinists, welders, model makers, carpenters, HVAC people, different things, different trade people, because we do have one of the only research and development fabrication shops, you know, within the Corps that builds a lot of our models and testing equipment that we do at ERDC. They were able to procure the supplies and build the units within 24 hours from when we received word to start this. So they did an exceptional job of going in and figuring out what had to be done and getting both units finished within the 24 hours, not just one, but they had both of the alternatives done during that time frame, which was really outstanding on their part.
That is quite an effort. Dr. Bridges, any comments from you?
I'll add to something that Dr. Pittman noted in regards to us working in a virtual way through teleworking during this period of time. And one of the things that I think it's useful to mention is just how truly, I think, impressive the disciplinary diversity of ERDC. I mentioned it in my response to our modeling. And I think it presents in some respect a challenge for Dr. Pittman and other leaders in the organization, because we have such a broad discipline capacity, expertise, physics and geotechnical engineering and biology and molecular chemistry and public health. The capacity is truly big. And that was what enabled us actually to respond in this case, to go from really having no and never having attempted to do epidemiological modeling before to having functional models in days and a model that's working on a supercomputer in just a couple of weeks. And to be able to deploy that kind of capacity does require certain types of individuals, that they're flexible, agile, and really kind of open to working with others who are well outside their field. And when you combine this with the circumstances that we were dealing with, where everybody basically working on this team was teleworking. So these were people who had never met before face-to-face and didn't really share anything in common in terms of their educational background or technical experience. Yet these people were all able to come together because of the commitment that they had to the work. And it was very impressive to observe firsthand the willingness of this team of 40 to literally be working 24/7, 7 days a week for weeks. Some element of that team was operating continuously to be able to deliver the capacity that we produced over that period. It was a fantastic thing to observe. It was really maybe my most tangible experience with what we call the power of ERDC.
It comes across loud and clear. Dr. Pittman, any closing comments from you to wrap up this great discussion?
Yeah, thanks, Dan. And just a few comments. One is I'd like to shout out to Jill Semonite through this. He's our chief of engineers, and he's retiring here in just a few weeks. But I think it was his leadership, really, honestly, the day this started back in March and through even today. And he'll run through the tape when he retires in September. But just a shout out to his great leadership, not just for the Corps of Engineers, but for the nation throughout this crisis. So I wish him well in the next chapter. I've never been prouder. You know, Todd Bridges has said this, and I'll repeat it, that I've never been prouder to be part of ERDC. We stand up when crisis hit and stand up for the nation, and this particular time is no different. So I've never been prouder to be part of ERDC and ERDC team and part of the Corps of Engineers and the Army and the DOD and what they've been able to do in responding to this crisis. You know, it's not over yet, by the way. We still got a little ways to go, I believe, but I'm confident that we'll respond. And one more shout out, too, by the way, is to our partners. You know, we can't do anything that we do inside the ERDC, the Corps of Engineers and the Army or DOD without our partners. And we couldn't have done what we've done in responding to COVID without our partners. So those 30 some odd facilities that we built around the nation, that was our industry partners stepping up to help get that done. And they help us every day in R&D. So it was really a national response to this and couldn't do it without our partners. So we just appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today and look forward to seeing what AUSA brings to us this year.
Thanks to all of you, Dr. David Pittman, Dr. Todd Bridges, and Mr. Mike Channel, for being with us today and for sharing your insights on such an important initiative for the entire country. We look forward to keeping apprised of your continued efforts in the battle with COVID-19 and wish you, who are a true national asset and a real credit to the Army civilian workforce that doesn't get enough time in the spotlight, you are really impressively showing how agile and powerful that force can be. Again, I want to thank you for your time and, more importantly, for your contributions. The nation has truly benefited.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah!